Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. It's that time of year again, and, well, near enough, I believe, when this episode actually goes live. If it all goes to plan, it should be coming out on the 20th of December. Which, yeah, it's 5 days before Christmas. It's coming on quick. I thought I'd get it out before Christmas, because if you're anything like me, once that fateful day has passed, I'm done. I'm asleep, I'm hungover, and more than likely, I'm not doing anything until I'm back at work again, just after New Year's. But who actually knows, this year could be different. I've got this show to manage and run, and man, I love doing it. I've never stuck or worked at something this much before, and I've seen it grow from literally nothing, and having like zero listeners, but still grinding and putting out content to now. But we're not huge by all means, but I've met some amazing people along the way, and that's for sure. So to all of you out there who have listened or reached out, have an amazing Christmas or whatever you celebrate, and a great new year as well. So, like I mentioned in the previous episode, we're going to make 2021 our bitch. 2020 was a disaster, and believe it or not, I think we started the show near the end of September, actually, or somewhere along there. So, we've come a long way pretty quick. And the way I see it is, I've had a lot of fun doing it along the way, and whatever happens, I'm just winning even more. Nothing can change my perception on that. This coming year, I am going to try and mix things up, though. I want to do more interview-type shows and get people on. Speak to people and, yeah, get some of you on. Some of you who have told me your own stories and stuff like that. I'd really like to have a chat. It's more personal having a conversation than just speaking to you on the socials, right? As much as I love doing that, it would be cool to have an actual chat, right? It's definitely something I've wanted to do for a long time now, but it's weird. You're doing the show and I make endless mistakes, which I always do, and it's quick, simple edits, no one hears, plus I get really bad anxiety when talking to people I don't actually know, so yeah. And don't take offence, like I said, so many people have reached out and I'm super grateful for you doing it, and don't take offence, I just, yeah, it's something I really have got to overcome for myself first, but I guarantee we'll be working together soon 100%, it's my plan this year and I really want to do it. But how are you guys doing anyway? It's going to be a weird one this year. So many people have been affected and you can't see loved ones. People have had their relatives affected by COVID. It's really been just purely horrendous year, but it will get better. There's light at the end of the tunnel for the first time in quite a long time, actually. So if you have those winter blues or you're feeling down, depressed, or you need someone to talk to, I get you there. I'm here. Feel free to drop me a message anytime you like. I'm super active on the Instagram, but you can reach out any way you like. And I'll try and get back to you as soon as. Now, the socials are That Haunted Show, all one word, everywhere on this earth you can think of and beyond. That's right, guys, I've made contact. I'm streaming live right now from Uranus. Or, fuck, that was so bad. Or email thathauntedshow@gmail.com. If you want to talk, I'm here. If you want to chat about some ghostly stuff, I'm there. You want to rant, you know the drill. I'm here again. And I will do my best to make everyone's day just a little bit better. I say I do my best though, because my jokes are like dad jokes at best. Probably below dad joke level, but hey, it's Christmas. Yeah, bad news on the hoodies, guys and girls. It's not doing too good. I messed up and they won't be done before Christmas for sure. But I am doing my best, making sure they're being designed right now. So I'm going to do a little challenge, a kind of you scratch my back and I'll hit you up with some sick merch kind of thing. I was going to be like, oh, people who leave a review on Apple get to go into the draw, but I'm not a dick. Although that would really help me out if you do want to do that. You'll be on my best friend list for life. I'm not about that. It takes time. We all live busy lives. I get it. But there will be a post coming out at some point. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a quiz, a question, a riddle. Who knows? But maybe like all the people who comment or like get entered and we'll see how it goes from there. It'll all be free, of course. I'll cover it out of my own expense because I'm a nice guy like that. Nah, but jokes aside, they will be awesome. And welcome back to That Haunted Cult Show. I mean, show. We're not a cult yet. So the story goes back a long time. We're going to be covering a badass, crazy old half-goat that is Krampus. And for the first time in Haunted Show history, Wikipedia was actually a terrible reference for this episode, so I didn't even use it. So 10 points to Ravenclaw because, yeah, Ravenclaw for life. It's luxury muggle. So, like I mentioned, Krampus is one mean old dude. If you can even call him a dude. Technically, he is a half-goat, half-demon. What a good mix. Sounds great. And if that doesn't sound scary enough, he literally beats people into being nice and not naughty. So, I can get behind that. I kind of dig it. He has long-bearing sharp horns, dark hair, jagged fangs, and a long tongue that would make the dude out of Kiss jealous. He is the epitome of Anti-Santa. In fact, I kind of like that name. Has a nice ring to it. Anti-Santa. It's nice. Might keep it. He has a chain with bells that he lashes about like a whip, alongside his trusty bundle of birch sticks, which he also uses to bash... God, I'm reading this article now. This trusty bundle of birch sticks, which he uses to bash up naughty little children. Then, again, if he really doesn't like you, congratulations. You've won a one-way ticket down to the underworld. Say hi to Satan for me. He sounded like a cool dude, right? Half goat, half demon, beats children. Well, naughty children, of course. Let's just put that out there. That doesn't make it any... Not that you should beat any children, naughty or nice, but he is a demon and a goat. It's mythological. Don't judge, just understand. So, in Catholicism, jolly old Saint Nick, or Santa, or Father Christmas, or whatever the hell the big dude with the beard is called, he's the patron saint of children, and of course the guy who delivers all those billions of presents all in one night. He needs a job at Amazon, because I'm still waiting on packages. Just saying, Jeff Bezos, I know you listen to this, so get him on the firm. I need that package before Christmas, please. Santa, or Saint Nick, was welcomed all over the world. He was this lovely, kind man with huge generosity and benevolence, and... I had to double check because I always get the words mixed up and nearly called Santa malevolent, which would be worrying. Basically benevolent is good, nice. And malevolent is, you commonly hear with demons, it's really troublesome and not good. So Santa is malevolent. No, fuck. Santa is benevolent. Okay. He's a good guy. I mean, if you piss him off, he might be benevolent, but generally speaking, he's a nice dude. Don't piss off Santa, right? Krampus's name is actually derived from the German word for Krampen, translating to claw, which is said to be the son of hell. Now, that's H-E-L, just hell, right? In Norse mythology, and that's amazing, right? I love Norse mythology, and currently right now I'm smashing out Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which actually, no. As this episode goes live, I was smashing out Valhalla, and now Cyberpunk 2077 has come out, and dude, that has taken over my life. I'm trying to do this show and play Cyberpunk because, man, that game is so good. Although I'm using my girlfriend's laptop at the moment because her laptop is like 10 times better than my PC. It's running like a GTX 2070, not even GTX, RTX. I've got all the ray tracing, everything like that, DLSS. And my PC is running, it's running a 1060. It's good. I like it. Does what I need, but yeah, I'm running everything on Ultra and still getting like 70 FPS over there, and it makes me so mad. But anyway, before I start going on about games, let's get back to it. Yeah, I love Vikings. You ever seen the TV show Vikings? It was so good. I'd love to be a Viking, just maybe with internet access and maybe not the raids and battles and decapitations and blood eagles. If you don't know what a blood eagle is, don't Google it. It's not nice. This legendary creature also shares characteristics with other scary and demonic creatures in Greek mythology, including the satyrs, and fauns. Now, this legend is literally centuries old and originated in Germany, where Christmas celebrations begin in early December and go on throughout the whole month. Krampus was created as a counterpart to the legend that is jolly old Saint Nick, who rewarded children with gifts and sweets. Whereas Krampus was more my cup of tea. He'd beat and swat the children, stuff them in a sack, and take them away to his lair. It's not kidnapping if it's mythological. Oh god, I can't speak today. Fuck. But we are late to the party here. Krampusnacht. Krampusnacht. Which, of course, is German, and it's the word for Krampus night, if you couldn't figure that out. It's on December the 5th, so we're late. We are quite a bit late. So if you go looking for any missing children in Germany right now, don't hold me to this, but Krampus, just saying. Also, check this out. I came across this and, man, I need to go to Germany, like, next Christmas, because there is a modern take on the tradition in Austria, Germany, Hungary, Slovenia, and the Czech Republic, which involves, and this is it, right, I'm not even kidding, drunken dudes dressed as devils who take over the streets for Krampuslauf, which is a Krampus run of sorts, which people are chased through the streets by these drunk devils. Now, why the hell have I not heard of this, and where do I sign up? Like, send me up with some German beer and like one of those tankards and a devil suit and I'm there. Also, side note, since I've been talking about this, and you know Facebook's always listening to you, fuck you, Zug. I keep getting loads of ads for this devil costumes and these Krampus knight masks, and they're so good, and they cost thousands of euros. They are really, people have this job like all year round. They create suits for this knight, and that is their whole life and livelihood. It's crazy. But yeah, Facebook's listening. Those ads have been personalized, and it's great. It's boring, but it's great. Krampus's frightening presence was suppressed for many years. The Catholic Church forbade the raucous celebrations. Well, of course they did, those damn Catholics. And I can say that because I'm from a family of Irish Catholics, so suck it, Popeski. Also, another weird reason it was suppressed for so many years was because of fascists in World War II Europe who believed Krampus was despicable and created social democrats. Uh-huh. Yeah. But the big goat man himself has been making a bit of a comeback in recent times, partly because it's an apparent bar humbug nature in pop culture. I personally blame the Grinch. It's where I developed my festive misery. But over in the States, it's huge. There are big Hollywood productions coming out about Krampus, and one of my favourite American Dad episodes ever, with the soul-singing goat that is Krampus. Now, I'm not even kidding. If you like Family Guy, American Dad, all that, Cleveland Show, you know. I cried at this episode. It was so good. The cry with laughter is not sad, but just this soul-singing goat who just beats children. It just got to me. Nah, it was just so good. Yeah, favorite episode all time. But like all things, Krampus is being too commercialized and is losing its edge because of its newfound popularity. I mean, if he needs a hand, I'll grab some sticks and start beating some kids in a devil outfit. I got you, bud. But wait, that sounded better in my head. Out of context, if anyone records that, I will be running this show from jail. Moving on swiftly. There is also this awesome, I don't know what to call it, craze, I guess, called Krampuskarten, which again is a German word meaning, you guessed it, Krampus cards. Just flexing my GCSE level German here. These awesome holiday cards are definitely not meant to make you feel warm and fuzzy inside. Well, maybe if you're a cynical bastard like me. One's marked with Gruß von Krampus, which translates to greetings from Krampus, showed the big goat demon himself stuffing distressed children into his satchel and preparing to hit one with a bundle of birch sticks. Good times. And for the kids he couldn't fit in his satchel, he'd tie them up in chains and just drag them off. He's efficient, I like it. One way ticket to hell, you know. The good stuff. Then, of course, like anything over the time, it got sexualized, yep. That's right, you heard it. There were cards that showed a sexy Krampus who looked more ladylike. Well, still goaty and demonic, but you get the idea. Let's say, in a more fitting attire and whipping tiny little men with her birch sticks and carrying them off in a in her satchel. Sounds kind of hard, not gonna lie. But to Krampus' sudden resurgence in mainstream media, it looks like he could be pinned on one single guy. Now, this is pretty amazing. This graphic designer named Monte Beauchamp, who released a book of Krampus cards and organized art shows inspired by him. Now, we can't say for sure it was this guy and the book that made it go mainstream, but it did do really well. And just look, everywhere you go now, Krampus is huge. That big old goat demon is living his best life, whipping naughty kids in the underworld. And I say good for him. He had his dream and he chased it. A lot of people would say, oh, you can't do that. But did he let that get him down? Hell no. He beat those children and he took them to hell. Hopefully they're nice. I don't know. It's kind of a one-way deal. So he might make them nice, but there's no going back. Maybe he's a bad guy. Fuck. There are many different variants of Krampus throughout the years, some portraying him as just this evil goat demon, some as a sexy half-naked goat woman, but originally he was supposed to work with Santa. It's often portrayed as they were enemies, but on the contrary, the two typically used to travel together. Santa doesn't need to hand out coal when he's got a horn. He doesn't need to hand out coal when he has this horn demon by his side to bash up children, does he? So, what more can we say about this old guy? He's the yin to Santa's yang, the butter to his bread. They work together and sometimes they don't see eye to eye, but they need each other, man. It's beautiful. I mean, not every child is on that nice list after all. So, if you've been naughty this year, I keep an eye out. Krampus is coming. I'm not even kidding, run. He has a bundle of sticks and chains. Get the hell out of there, kids. Fuck. But I hope you enjoyed this little look into the jolly old demon that is Krampus. He seems like a super fun guy. I like him. But we are sticking with our festive theme. I have found some creepy ghost stories that are all Christmas related. So sit tight and let's get spooky. It was actually really hard to find ghost Christmas stories. So it took a lot of effort to actually find these stories. Some aren't great. I won't lie to you. But some are. So hopefully you enjoy them. There's only a few because I'm going to keep this episode fairly short. I don't know what time we're on now. Okay, yeah, we can fit in quite a few, so let's just have a look at some of these. So this one's coming out of Poland by a username Magda, and it's called The Father Christmas Ghost. So, my name is Magda now. I am 14 years old. When I was 7, I was in Poland with my family, that being where I come from. I couldn't sleep that night because it was Christmas Eve, and like many other children, I was too excited to fall asleep. My mind was going crazy, but after midnight passed by, I decided to get into bed and close my eyes. I tried sleeping, which would not work, so I ended up just tossing and turning to find a comfortable position. In my bedroom, there was a large wardrobe, which belonged to my cousins. We were staying at theirs. I happened to look at it and found myself staring at it for a couple of seconds. I began to see what vividly looked like Father Christmas. He had a white long beard and a red jacket. I stared at it, eyes wide open for what seemed like ages, but was only in fact probably a few seconds. I couldn't move, I could hardly breathe properly, and at that time my dad came into the room to say goodnight to me, and he could see my scared face. I pointed up to the wardrobe, I could still see the Father Christmas standing there in the corner of the room, almost climbing onto the ceiling, but my dad just looked at me as if I had gone mad. In the end, I burst into tears and ran out of that room and into the kitchen. My family heard me and came running after me. Fuck, sorry. I explained what had happened and they told me that I just got a little too excited about Christmas. I know that's not true and I really did see him. Why? I just can't figure out why. Was it really Father Christmas or was it an evil spirit trying to get me through pretending to be him? Please help me out. Thanks, Magda. This actually freaked me out. Like, what is it? Is it in Insidious? It might have been Insidious, where there's kind of like, or it could have been in one of the Conjuring movies, just that kind of in the corner of your room shadow and climbing on the ceiling, but in a Father Christmas outfit. Like, I know I shouldn't laugh. This sounds really bad, right? This would traumatize me, and I know you're 14, so yeah, it would freak me out if I saw that at 14. Like, I saw like a shadow on my TV turn off, which, all right, yeah, it's worse than that, but that scared the life out of me, and yeah, it still affects me to this day. So yeah, you could have seen something real. I don't doubt what you've seen at all. The thing is, it could definitely be a spirit. I won't kind of go against that. The whole kind of hype, it was Christmas Eve, you're obviously young, you're excited, that could be playing on your mind as well. So you could have imagined the Santa suit. I don't want to write it off as anything, but it's just a possibility, right? But yeah, I don't discredit you. You've definitely seen something, whether it was Father Christmas there or not, which would be worrying if it is. It sounds more like Krampus if he's crawling across your ceiling. But that definitely sounds scary as hell, and I hope you found some help. And yeah, don't doubt yourself. You know what you saw. A lot of people kind of doubt themselves and kind of put it to the back of their minds, but you've seen something and stick with it. Believe. No one's a believer until they've seen something, right? And that's all I can say. Once you've seen something, you know what you've seen and you know what's real. So this one's coming out from Ohio in the States. This was my first and only experience with a Ouija board. Oh God, here we go. It was a week before Christmas, 1969, and a return to a boys' village, a juvenile institution in Ohio, and after Christmas vacation at home. I turned 14, I was 14 again. I turned 14 2 days before Christmas, and enjoyed spending time with my mother and my brothers. At the time, the boys' village had 60 boys in this residence divided up between 5 cottages. I lived in Eagles, the newest and largest, with 11 other guys, and an older married couple who served as surrogate parents. Only 2 other boys had returned at that point, everyone else was due back the next day. We built a fire in the fireplace and built sandwiches from leftovers in the fridge and hung out in the dining room, talking about our holidays away. We'd each brought back presents from home, radios, toys, such and such from one of the guys, and one of the guys brought back a Ouija board he had gotten. I'd heard of them, although I'd never seen before nor had the other two. So we decided to try it out. The 3 of us set it up, looking over the instructions, and sat there on the dining room table, our fingers touching the planchette lightly as the instructions stated. We asked the board and whoever was connected with it ordinary questions. Would I pass the English exam, that sort of thing, and got simple answers. The planchette moved, but other to affirm myself that it was nothing. I really didn't give it much thought as it was just purely interesting and entertaining to me at the time. One of the guys accused the other, the one who owned the board, of moving the planchette, which he denied, of course. They went back and forth for a bit, and then finally the accuser said, "Screw this, I'm proving you're moving it." Then he said, in a loud voice, his hands are still on the planchette. "Hey, you, I don't believe you're real. If you are, show us." I mentioned we'd lit a fire in the fireplace, and as we got involved with eating, the board we'd let burn down to almost nothing. No sooner did the fellow challenge the board than a sheet of blue flame leapt up from the ashes and up the chimney with a loud whooshing hiss. We put the board back in its box and put the box on the top shelf in the hall closet. For all I know, it's still there. Okay. Sounds pretty terrifying. You definitely shouldn't challenge a board. You don't challenge evil. Don't challenge any kind of spirit. You don't know what's there. Don't mess with the spirits, right? If they're there, they're answering questions. They're not a toy. You kind of summon someone. So if we believe this was actually happening, right? You've kind of summoned someone who's in the afterlife doing whatever it is they do, and you're asking if they're passing an English exam. If you're going to get summoned, you're living an afterlife for what? Eternity. And someone summons you and it's like, "Oh, I'm going to pass this exam." You're going to be like, "Whatever, I don't care." And then you're doing all this stuff, putting on a show. And then they're like, "Oh no, it's fake." You're going to get pissed off, right? I know I would. I've taken time out of my ghost days to show you guys a good time. And you're like, "Huh, screw it, it's fake." So yeah, don't challenge anything like that. Especially, you see a lot of it on the ghost shows where they kind of egg on and encourage and provoke these kind of entities, which, yeah, you get an effect, but that's how you get some, that's how you get some really negative effects. So I'd definitely advise not to do that. Be polite, be courteous. It is a person after all. Well, we'd hope it's a person unless it's some kind of demonic entity. But who knows, maybe the Ouija board's still there. So here we are in Texas now by Jeannie. Years ago for Christmas, I had asked Santa Claus. Why can't I speak today? Years ago for Christmas, I'd asked Santa Claus for a pair of little girl high heel shoes. It was all the rage back then. I remember daydreaming about how wonderful it would be to have such shoes. I would look so great and it would be so much fun. I was so excited, I just couldn't wait for Christmas. Finally, Christmas Eve came. It was here at last. That night, I could hardly sleep, but I knew I had to, otherwise Santa wouldn't come to our house. So morning finally came at last. I jumped out of bed and ran down to our Christmas tree. Santa brought me the most beautiful pink plastic high heels that anyone had ever seen. I put them on my feet and started parading around the room. I was so happy. My mum had gone to the kitchen to start breakfast, and I decided to walk into the kitchen so that my mum could bask in the loveliness of my shoes. Just as I get to the doorway in the kitchen, I notice this black arm that comes out of the doorframe. Now, I am walking very fast, so I can't really stop, and I walk straight through the black arm that is stretched out across the doorway. I'm so scared and I stumble and fall, breaking the heel of one of my new shoes. I'm scared and crying. I cry not because I've broken my shoes, but was it the thing that I had just seen? I tell my mother about it, but she has no idea what to say. The horrific experience fades away with the years and several more Christmases come and go. But what's even stranger is that I see a black arm once more. This time I'm about 12 years old. My brother and sister are laying in a blanket under a lovely shade tree. We're discussing God and I'm preaching my little heart out. All of a sudden, the black arm reaches up from the ground and comes around me. Jesus. I scream and get away from it quickly. I tell my mother again of the black arm. She says a prayer and calms me down. That night and several nights after, I sleep with my sister. These two incidents happened to me years ago, but I remember them as if they're yesterday. I don't know what this was or if anyone else has seen this black arm. All I know is that it has happened to me. Now, that sounds pretty scary. Yeah, so it almost sounds like this black arm is, I don't know what to put it as, but obviously something very negative is something trying to take you away, potentially. But I haven't got many thoughts for the one at Christmas. It just kind of seemed to be there, and it could have been just purely how I started. But then it's obviously like anti-religion. You're speaking about religion and then you see it again. So it's obviously something very negative. Who's trying to take that from you? But it's very interesting and definitely quite scary. The fact that I'm kind of picturing something out of like The Evil Dead or something, like this arm, but instead of a zombie arm, it's a ghost arm trying to pull you into the ground. So that actually sounds pretty horrible. If this stuff is still happening though, I definitely recommend doing some kind of cleansing ritual though. Whatever it is you can do. Like I've mentioned so many times, saging works wonders. And like your mum said, she's already done a prayer and you come from a religious family. So fingers crossed for you, this arm does go. And I really hope it doesn't come back because it does sound terrifying. I've never actually heard a story like this. It's definitely intriguing. I don't know if any of you have experienced this black arm kind of phenomena, but there must be something to it. It's something simple, but just having an arm, was it attached to a body? Was there a body seen or anything along those lines? I don't actually know, but it sounds pretty horrifying nevertheless. So here we are on the final story, and this is coming from the Philippines. My scary experience happened during my last year in high school. As a tradition, during Christmas in our school, my teachers organised caroling to raise funds for some of the school activities. For those who don't know, we go to a house, sing Christmas songs, and the house owners give us some money, but no obligation. Caroling session is normally done at night. Also, if you want to donate to the haunted show, no obligation, just saying. Just to give you an idea of my location, we're in a rural place in the countryside. The roads are not cemented, no street lights, houses are far away from each other, rice fields, and lots of them. At night, people are normally at home, so you can either hear the crickets or the dogs. So this is night one of our caroling. About 12 of us are in a group, one teacher and the rest of my classmates. We started around 7 to 8 p.m. and since our meeting place is at my teacher's house, we started caroling at the nearby houses. We were just walking to go from each place to another. About 2 hours had passed and it's getting late at night. We reached this place with a particularly old big tree just around the corner of the street. I heard a lot of ghost stories, especially about this white lady. Before we arrived there, we walked about 15 minutes where there's nothing except rice fields. We walked past this tree and we were all very scared, but luckily none of us felt anything weird. So we continued walking but still had this eerie vibe. I only saw two or three houses in the area with lots of big trees. We stopped on the first house and started singing our Christmas song. After a while, we saw one of our classmates crying without any reason. Some of them tried to calm her down, but she couldn't be stopped. She didn't say anything, just crying, and it got even louder. Moments later, she looked at me and told me not to look at it, the tree, pointing at the big tree I mentioned earlier. She said she saw Capri with red eyes, smiling and looking at her. Now, Capri is a big man with hair all around its body like a monkey, and it lives in a tree. It usually smokes tobacco at night and smells like fish sauce. Okay. So, a Capri is this big monkey. I don't know if it's like a Sasquatch or anything like that. It doesn't state if it's bipedal. It lives in the tree, so I'm presuming it's a lot smaller. And it smokes tobacco and smells like fish sauce. Interesting combination. I bet his breath is fucking terrible. At this time, I felt super scared and almost fainted. I was almost crying at the time, so I didn't dare go back to look at the tree, not even a glance. My group decided that we leave the place immediately, so we walked back and spent the rest of the night at our school, which is about a 1 to 1.5 hour walk. At the school, we all stayed in one room on the second floor. It's an ordinary classroom, so each of us choose the most comfortable place to sleep. Surrounding the classroom are big trees. There are glass windows on one side of the wall, and in the middle of my sleep, I was woken up because my whole body and my chair was shaking, and it was shaking so very strong. I know I was awake and it wasn't a dream. I didn't open my eyes because I was so scared. It lasted for about 3 minutes, and my arms and legs were so numb, I just ignored it and fell back to sleep later on. Until now, I'm unsure what happened that night. Right. So. Yeah. These Capris are a real thing. Okay. So I'm just looking through some of the comments now. This is by Lady Glow. It makes me wonder if these Capris are people suffering from hypertrichosis, a genetic condition that results in excessive hair covering the parts of one's body. In extreme cases, it can cover the whole body. Other than that, it would be very difficult, if not impossible, for two individuals from different species to interbreed without and create living offspring. That's just a theory of a genetic condition. But apart from that, a Capri, let's just have a look at this. Okay, I'm looking up some Capris right now. So let's have a look in the mythological. So a Capri, I'm pronouncing it wrong apparently. It's a Filipino cryptid, created with the appearance of a phenomenally tall, long-legged, god-type hairy humanoid that sits in a big tree and smokes cigarettes. It's often seen waiting for people as they walk through a path. It scares away little children who play at night. And if you're stuck in a place and you keep going around in circles, you're said to be played around with by a Capri. To escape its control, you must remove your shirt and clothing and wear it inside out. Man, some myths and legends are crazy. I love it. this is just wild. So if you see one, this big man ape thing who's got a breath like fish and smoking a cigarette up in a tree, take your shirt off and wear it inside out. There you go. That haunted show saved your life. But I do want to do an episode on this because this actually sounds amazing. Capris are not actually, I might not do an episode. Let's just read it out now. Capris are not necessarily considered to be evil, unlike the manigal. According to some experiences, the Capri has moved from smoking high-end cigarettes. The Capri has moved on from smoking high-end cigars to drinking beer. Some Capri are rather wise. Some rated brute-like, but they all have one common thing, the odd desire of watching over farm animals and locals. Their demeanour is that of protection and knowing its care, but know this, if one was to make a Capri mad, all hell would break loose, as the Capri can go ahead and snap an Akugan's neck. Capris are also said to play pranks on people, frequently making travellers become disorientated and lose their way in the mountains or in the woods. They also believe they have the ability to confuse people in their own familiar surroundings. For instance, someone who forgets they are in their own garden or home is said to be tricked by a Capri. Reports of experiencing Capri enchantment include that of witnessing rustling tree branches. Rustling tree branches, even if the wind is not strong. Some more examples would be hearing loud laughter coming from an unseen being, witnessing lots of smoke from the top of a tree, seeing fiery eyes at nighttime from a tree, as well as actually seeing the Capri walking in forested areas. It's also believed that the abundant fireflies in woody areas are the embers from the Capri's lit ganja pipe. This is wild, man. Is he smoking ganja now? Sick. I thought he was just smoking tobacco, but he's on the ganja. Top notch. I want to meet this guy, man. Capris may make contact with people to offer friendship, or if he is attracted to a woman. If a Capri befriends any human, especially because of love, the Capri would consistently follow its love interest throughout life. Also, if one is a friend of the Capri and the person has the ability to see it and they were to sit on it like any other person could see, this proves... What? So if you can sit on the Capri, this proves the Capris are a friendly type of humanoid. This is literally how it was written. I can't make any sense of that. Okay. In some version, the Capri is said to hold a magical white stone, smaller in size than a choir leg. Should any person happen to obtain this stone, the Capri could grant wishes. So it's kind of like a genie as well. Nice. The Capri is a filthy gorilla-like giant humanoid characterized as it has a tree demon. It's described as being very tall, between 7 to 9 foot. Brown, hairy male with a beard. Capris are normally described as smoking a very large ganja pipe, whose strong smell would attract any human attention. But a Capri's most least known, but probably most horrendous feature is the fact it reeks of goat. Okay. We're nearly at the end of this website, I'm sorry. The Capri is said to wear indigenous northern Philippine loincloth known as a bahag. And according to some, it wears a belt which gives the Capri the ability to be invisible to humans. The Capris are said to dwell in big trees like acacias, mangoes, bamboo, and banyan, known in the Philippines as balet. It is also mostly seen sitting under those trees too. Okay, so we've learned about Capris. That's awesome. This has almost turned into a Capri episode, but I'm not even mad. They actually sound wild, so I really like them. But that will be it for today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed listening. It's been a lot of fun to record, even though we kind of went off in a tangent talking about Capris, but who cares? I'm in a jolly festive mood, and as weird as it is, I'm recording this right now. Christmas still seems ages away, but you guys probably won't hear from me until after Christmas, and that was a lot of words in one breath. Well, unless you're one of those amazing people who want to chat to me on the socials, also Cheeky Blog again, That Haunted Show, all one word, anywhere you like, just saying, it's a fun place to chill. And if you feel like being amazing, a review on Apple Podcasts would really help us out. Or spread the word, tell your friends about the cult, the show, not cult, slip of the tongue, my bad. It's going to get me in trouble one day. But if you're new to the show, hi, I'm Lou, and it's been an absolute pleasure. If you want to listen to the show, you can find us pretty much on every platform, anywhere. All the episodes, if you click the link in the bio, which would be on all of my socials, it will take you to my website, in which you can find the whole repository of episodes and locations in which to listen to them. And also, if you're feeling extra festive or drunk over the Christmas period, on the top right of the website there is a donation page on Cash App, so if you'd like to do that, that would be amazing. But this will be the end, and yeah, I won't hear from you until after Christmas, so Merry Christmas. Or whatever you want to celebrate this year. I'll see you on the other side, as always. Stay safe, stay spooky, and good night.